well. We want to read God's word in the Psalms, Psalm 103, Psalm 103. We're going to read the psalm, and then we want to apply that psalm into our hearts and into our lives. And so we read God's word. It's a psalm of David. It's entitled in the ESV, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And that's the opening refrain of verse 1 as well. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Amen. Our gracious Father, would you speak to us in these moments? Would you enable our cry to be, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name," in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week as we came to the end of 2018, and this week as we transition into 2019, I sensed that one of the things that God wanted us to do and to be as a people, to be a people who would honor him with our worship, to be a people who would honor him with our lives, to be a people who would honor him with the contentment of who we are, and to be a people who would honor him in making known and proclaiming and declaring the good news of our Lord Jesus. And this morning, I want to build on that, and I want us to do that in the context of Psalm 103. It's interesting that when Mandy asked who's made New Year's resolutions, just the apathy that reigned right across the church, you know. Nobody making any promises for change. Nobody making any promises for transformation. Nobody putting their hands up and saying, "You'll find me in the gym every day this year," you know. Nobody kind of, you know, making those declarations of diet. Nobody making those, you know, promises that old habits that die hard this year will still die. None of that. What a bunch. Right? You know, there we are at the start of a year. And perhaps there's a reluctance in us to say something that within ourselves we perhaps know or fear we will never follow through with. Well, it's interesting because Psalm 103 is a beautiful psalm. It's a psalm that was perhaps written in the context of deliverance from a war or from some plague or some besetting illness. But in actual fact, it's also perhaps a psalm that was used in many of the annual feasts and many of the annual celebrations of the people of God. And that's why it's a perfect psalm at the start of at the start of a new year, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. That's the opening refrain. And that's where we want to be with this refrain as we kind of begin to unpack it a little bit. I don't know how you start your day. I don't know whether you're the person that, when asked, if you're waking up grumpy in the morning, turns and says, no, I just let him get up himself, right? Some people don't wake well. They don't kind of start the day well. And many people set themselves the intention that what they're going to do is they're going to start the day with God. And it's always a good thing to do, by the way, to start the day with God. But many of us, of course, are ill-disciplined at the end of the day before, and so we don't start very well in the new day. If you want to give yourself a lie-in, do it the right side of the clock. It means go to bed early. And if you go to bed early, you'll find you get up better. And when you get up better, you're ready to encounter God. And one of the great things about this psalm is that David, the author of the psalm, he starts with himself. And you can almost sense in the opening verses that what he's doing is he's speaking to himself. And as he's speaking to himself, he's speaking to himself about all the reasons why he can, worship, adore, focus his mind, focus his heart, focus his life, center everything upon God. And you discover that in the opening verses because, what he's doing is he's recalling to himself the benefits of God, the forgiveness of Christ, the healing, the redemption, the crowning of his life with the steadfast love and mercy of God, the goodness of God. And so what he's doing is right at the start of the day, and his youth is renewed like the eagle. And so there he is, right at the start of the day, he's recalling, he's recounting the blessing of God, the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the faithfulness of God. And some of these things are things that I'm going to, highlight upon and drop down on for us right at the start of 2019. But it's a beautiful start for us. It's David in himself. But he doesn't stay there. What happens is he then starts to think about the nation, the people of Israel that he's a part of. And so he starts to think about the blessing of God, the goodness of God, the righteousness of God displayed in the life of the people of which he's a part. And in the midst of all of it is the steadfast love of God. Now that little word steadfast, those of us brought up in the Boys Brigade were brought up with that little motto, sure and steadfast. And that little word steadfast, it was the anchor that we had in those days for the symbol of it. But that little word steadfast means it is fixed. It is certain, it is guaranteed, it is immovable, it is unchanging. That's why it's important not just to think about the love of God, but to think about the steadfast love of God, the fixed love of God, the immovable love of God, the unchanging love of God, the sure and certain love of God. And so he's declaring the steadfast love of God. And then what he does is he thinks about that, not just for himself and for his people, but he starts to think about that for the whole of humanity. And when you get to run about verse 11, 12, 13 of this psalm, you discover that David is absolutely captured by the steadfast love of God. Now remember, he's woken up, right? Waking up in the morning, right? And then being captured by the steadfast love of God for you, for your people, for the nation, for humanity, for the world. And what it does is he starts to think about the length and the breadth and the depth, of the love of God. He says it at verse 11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the steadfast love of God towards us. And so he's talking about the heights of the love of God. And then he, in verse 12 there, he's like, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. And he's looking at the length, the breadth of the love of God. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. And he's looking at the depths of the love of God. And it's all embracing in what it wants to do. It's embracing in what it wants to do. And so it's incredible, this vision. And what you start to find is he continues to think that way and to meditate that way and to reflect that way. What he does is he goes beyond planet Earth. He goes beyond humanity. And when you get to the last few verses of Psalm 103, you find that what he's doing is he's amazed at the steadfast love of God in a cosmic way. And so what he's doing is he's praising, you know, God, because, you know, he's saying to the angels, bless the Lord, you mighty ones who do his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts who minister to do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works. In all places of dominion, bless the Lord, O my soul. And what he does is he captures the vastness. He captures the greatness. He captures the awesome power of God. This God, the same God that we were celebrating through the whole of Advent, as God with us. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I've been greatly helped by Jim Packer as I've been preparing for this morning. I was blessed. Many years ago, a good friend of mine, his father died, and his father was a great reader. I knew his father well, and a great old man of God. And when he died, I was with my friend in his house, and he said, you know, I want you to go through Dad's books, John, and I want you to pick out just a number of books that you would treasure and want for yourself. And amongst those books was the collected writings of Jim Packer, 4 volumes. And you know, greatly helped in reading. I read them from time to time for myself. And as I was reading, there were just 5 beautiful pictures of who God is that I wanted to bring. And I've set it in the context of Psalm 103. But I want to bring that to us right at the start of 2019. Because the reality of our God is he's a God who is with us. He's that majestic God that David learned to praise. And if we're going to honor him with our worship, then we're going to need to be a people who know what it is to say, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. All that is within me. And that's that honoring God in our worship, honoring God with our life, honoring God in contentment, honoring God in evangelism. All that is within me, bless his holy name. And you know, one of the great things about Psalm 103, and one of the kind of promises of God, you know, we may have an apathy about us, about keeping promises, but let me tell you something. God is not apathetic about his promises. God is absolutely resolute in his promises, right? And Psalm 103 says that our God reigns. That's what it says. Our God reigns. And you know, one of the hardest things for you and I in coming to Christ, in coming to faith, in coming to a place where we admit that we need God, right, is that we know that we're effectively saying this: God, I am no longer in control. You are in control. And don't we hate that? Because if truth be told, is it not the case that we just don't like to not be in control? You know, it says we're just a bunch of control freaks, right? We all like to be in control. We all like to think that we control our destiny. We all like to think that we control the way things will be. We all like to think that we are the ones that are working out our plan and purpose. A good friend of mine who always says, you want to, you know, give God a laugh, tell him your plans, right? You know, but at the end of the day, we all like to be the ones who think that we are in control. But the truth is this. We are not in control. God is in control. Now, that can come as something that's hard for our pride, but it also comes as something that's great in the midst of a changing world. It also comes of something that's solid and secure in the midst of a world where, you know, many, many anti-Christian spirit are at work. And there is much going on in our world which appalls us and abhors us, and we think it's all out of control, but it's not out of control. God is in control. Our God reigns. And Psalm 103 declares to us that God is in control. And what we can do in our desire to bless him with all that we are, all within me, bless his holy name, what we can do is we can rest on the solid, on the secure, on the stable, the same way in which steadfast is fixed, solid, immovable, unchanging. You and I can rest secure, stable, solid on the truth that God is a sovereign God, that God is in control, that God is working out his plan and purposes. And before the coming of Christ, there were many who said the Messiah is never coming. And then Christ came. And he came exactly according to the promise of God in the fullness of time. And there are many who around the time of Jesus Christ here on earth thought he is not the Messiah, and they raged against him, and they thought they would crucify him, and they didn't even realize that God was in control of the crucifixion, because Jesus himself was going to the cross perfectly in control for the salvation of the world. And he was raised from the dead, and he ascended into glory, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father on high, and he intercedes for us. And there's not a prayer of Christ that will go unanswered. And there are many who live life as if he's never coming back again, but the reality is he is coming back again. And people sometimes take great pride in the positions they adopt and the intellectual arrogance with which they deny the existence of God. And one day, that will be challenged in a way that they've never fully comprehended. Our God reigns. We can rest on the solid and stable ground that is our sovereign God. And you and I need that security in 2019. We've already discovered that as a people of God right at the first 6 days of the year. 6 days in, and we need to know the security and stability and solidity of the unchanging God. And right at the start of this year, I just want to encourage us with our God reigns. Our God reigns. And not only does our God reign, but blessing of all blessing, our God forgives. Our God forgives. And for some of us, you know, we struggle with New Year because we can't forget the past. I've got a friend who every Sunday morning in life, not part of the life of the church here, I don't really see him very often, but every Sunday morning in life, I waken up to a text. And the text has always got a scriptural verse, and the text has always got a little word of encouragement. Just something he does for those that he knows who preach the word of God. And I woke up this morning to a text from Isaiah about God making the barren lands, fruitful. About God, making the wastelands fertile. And then he said this. He says, John, he says, learn from the past. Live for today and hope for the future. Learn from the past. Live for today and hope for the future. And our God forgives, and many of us find ourselves caught up and trapped up in a prison of our own making about the past. And David, as he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, could say that because he was a forgiven man. And if you sit there thinking, God can forgive David, but he can't forgive me. Well, David was an adulterer. David was a murderer. David was involved in all manner of heinous crimes. You know what I mean? So if you get some pretty big things to confess to God, let me tell you, God is able. Let me tell you, God can change. Let me tell you, God can transform. Let me tell you, God can forgive. Let me tell you, God can restore. Let me tell you, God can renew. It's David who's singing, bless the Lord. O my soul, and all that is within me. God forgives. And it's there, and he writes about it in the context of his psalm. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. He shows compassion to those who fear him, who trust him, who believe in him. In verse 8, he talks about the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. You know, and again, my friend, as we start 2019, there is nothing like the grace and mercy of God. What would it be like for us to just learn from the past but live in the present in the forgiveness of God? To dwell on the truth of the grace and mercy of God. Our God reigns and our God forgives. Our God cares. Our God cares. There are many who think I'm a distant God, but how could you ever think I'm a distant God when you look at the reality of the Advent season? How could you ever think I'm a distant God when you look at the God who is with us? And all the way through this psalm, in actual fact, it's one of David's great notes in all of his psalms. All the way through the psalm, we see the shepherd-like care of God, the steadfast love, the compassion of God for those who would just turn to him. To turn to him. And of course, we know that David pens that best in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. The Lord is my shepherd. David knew both the crook used to correct him, but he knew the staff used just to guide him, to pick him up. Out of the pit, he lifted me. The same way as a shepherd would lift the lamb that had fallen. Our God cares. And our God cares like no other person cares. One of the hardest lessons we need to learn is that our God cares far more than the people around us that we think could not love us more. God cares more than that. His compassion is deeper than that. His love is greater than that. You and I are so driven by that which is tangible that we find it hard to comprehend. But David realized that the Lord is my shepherd. And he realized, of course, that our God is the only God who can care for all eternity. Human beings cannot do that. But God can. He knew you in the womb, and he'll know you in glory the other side of the grave. Our God cares. And so again, at the start of this year, and here's the thing, our God is consistent. His strength, his presence, his assurance, his power, his mighty work in our hearts and in our lives. Our God is consistent. It is he who gives to us all of our days. It is he who keeps his covenant of love with us. You see, that's the joy of the grace and mercy of God, isn't it? You know, you and I are called to trust and obey. You and I are called to faithfulness. And who is the model for faithfulness? Our God. It is he who keeps the covenant. Again, you see, it's back to us being control freaks. We like to think it's about how we keep the covenant. Now, we're called by the Spirit of God, we're filled by the Spirit of God to be obedient. We're filled by the Spirit of God to be sanctified, to be holy, to be like Christ. That's that surrender to what God will do in us But God is faithful to keep the covenant. It is God who is consistent. And even as I say that, I say the final thing. Our God is faithful. Our God is faithful. You see, the reality is we might be a little bit apathetic in our promise keeping. But we are in the presence of the one who is the ultimate promise keeper. We are in the presence of the one who is the ultimate promise keeper. Our God is faithful. And even when others will desert, God is faithful. That's who he is. It's his character. It's his being. It's his personality. It's his godness. He cannot be anything other than faithful. It is who he is. Our God is faithful. As we start 2019 and as we enter into all that this year might hold, the truth is we can make a guess at some of the things we might do in 2019. We can make a guess at some of the things we'd like to do in 2019. We can make a guess at some of the things we've diaried to do in 2019, right? We can do all that. God in his grace and mercy allows us to do all, to make plans. But the reality is it is our sovereign God who is in control, and what he calls us to is day by day to learn what it is just to bless him, and with all that we are to honor him and to magnify him and glorify him. And what he does in his steadfast love is he forgives us and he cares for us and he's consistent in his dealings with us and he's faithful towards us. As we learn what it is day by day to trust and obey and to make him known. And I encourage you, look at Psalm 103. There are so many things that you could draw out there. Each little phrase is worthwhile thinking about. He knows your frame. He remembers that we're dust. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. To those who fear him, to those who trust him, to those who believe in him. His righteousness to our children, to our children's children, to those who keep his covenant, who remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in all the heavens. His kingdom rules over all. Isn't it incredible just to learn what it is to wake up day by day and to begin by speaking to ourselves and say, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me, bless him. And to end up saying, hey, angels, bless him. All of creation, bless him. All the ministering hosts, bless him. To be in that place where we realize that our God reigns, that our God forgives, that our God cares, that our God is consistent, that our God is faithful, and to live for our God with all that we are and all that we have. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we thank you that you are the one who reigns over all. And we thank you that you are the one who in grace and mercy, your grace is enough. Your mercy towards us is sufficient. Your forgiveness is complete. We thank you that you're the one who cares for each one of us. We thank you that you're the one who is solid, secure, consistent. And we thank you that you are faithful. And our heart's desire is that we as a people would learn what it is to say, to sing, to declare, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. In Jesus' name.